good morning to you all. So good to see you all here this morning. Those of you joining us online, so good to have you joining us this morning. I hope you didn't get snowed in too bad. I shouldn't say that. There are people in Virginia watching this who probably did get snowed in a little bit. Go ahead and open in your Bibles this morning to John chapter 14. Not 1 John, the Gospel of John. We've been in 1 John the past couple of weeks, but we're going to be looking at the Gospel of John this morning. So I have a confession for us, church. This series has just been doing a number on me. It really has. This has been doing such a number on me. Because here's the thing. For so long, the longer that we're Christians, the easier it is to begin to think and to begin to get comfortable in just doing Christianity in whatever way we've grown accustomed to doing it, whatever way we've grown accustomed to just being comfortable with doing it. And if anything, if there's anything at all that we should be taking away from this series, it is this. It is that Jesus is not okay with us being comfortable in whatever it is we decide to do for him. Everything that we should be doing is being obedient to Christ, to the point that Jesus goes so far to say, and I just want to reiterate, I didn't say it. Jesus said it. I'm just saying what Jesus said. Jesus goes so far to say, if you do not follow me, if you do not obey me, you do not follow me. We can't have it both ways, church. We can't do what we want and then try to claim that we're following Jesus, because it doesn't work like that. We either follow Jesus or we live in disobedience. There's no middle ground. It's one or the other. And this has been a series that has just put that into such a perspective for me, especially with everything that is going on in the world, everything that we're experiencing, everything that is going on in the country, in the world, in the community, everything that is just going on, it is more imperative than ever that church, we are focused on Christ and we are focused on living in obedience to Christ, because that is what we are called to do. Jesus is going to be speaking again this morning. We're actually kind of continuing what we were talking about last week. Last week, we were in 1 John, and in that letter, John is talking about how if we're going to follow Jesus, we have to what? We have to obey him. If we do not obey Christ, we do not follow Christ. And Jesus is actually going to be speaking to that a little bit more, because here's the thing. We can know if I'm going to follow Jesus, I have to obey him. We can know if I'm going to love Jesus, then I have to obey him. How do I do that? That's the all-important question, isn't it, Sherry McGee? Because she asked that question this morning. That's the all-important question. How do I live in obedience to Christ? And Jesus is actually going to speak to that very issue in John chapter 14. I'm going to start reading in verse 15. John chapter 14. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Jesus says the very thing that John was saying in his letter. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. There's no other statement to go with that. Jesus simply says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If we truly love Christ, we will live for Christ. And at its core, that is what it means to follow Jesus, is to live for him, to submit all of ourselves to his power, to his authority, because he alone is deserving of it. He alone has it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. So how do we do that? If we're going to live for Christ, we have to obey Christ. If we're going to obey Christ, then we have to keep his commandments. He says right here, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. Depending on the translation you're using this morning, that word could be helper, it could be comforter. I think some translations even use the word sustainer. But Jesus is speaking, of course, about the Holy Spirit. See, Jesus is actually on his way to the cross in this passage. All of John from chapters 13 through 17, it all takes place on the same night, the night leading up to the crucifixion. Jesus is mere hours away from the crucifixion when he says this. So he knows his time is short. For the past 3 years, Jesus has been working, he's been serving, he's been teaching the disciples. He has been by their side every day for 3 years. He has been there. He's been their constant encourager. He's been their consistent teacher. Anything that they needed to know, anything that they needed to do, Jesus was right there whispering in their ear, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to say. This is how you should be living. Jesus was right there. And now he's leaving. And this isn't a secret. This isn't something that Jesus was kind of keeping to himself because he didn't want the disciples to know about it. He's been telling them this for years. He's been telling them for years that he wouldn't always be there. Been telling them for years that what they have been experiencing, what they've been going through for the past 3 years, it wasn't permanent. It was never meant to be permanent. Instead, Jesus is going to depart and he's going to send somebody in his place. Our helper, the Holy Spirit. How is it that we're supposed to be living for Christ? How is it that we're supposed to be loving Jesus? Well, church, the short answer is we do it by submitting to the leading of the Holy Spirit. You see, this is actually a passage where we're actually seeing a glimpse into just how essential the Holy Spirit truly is. Because I want us to think about this for a minute, okay? This is the disciples. This is the 12 disciples, the 11 minus Judas who betrays him. It was through the ministry, through the work of these 11 men, as well as the Apostle Paul, that the church was built. No greater influence has anybody had for the church in history than the apostles. And yet, Jesus does not say to them, take everything that I've taught you, go and use it. He doesn't just say that. He doesn't just say, take everything that you've learned, take everything that you've gathered, and just go and live for me. Because as great as the apostles were, as influential and as gifted as the apostles were, they still would have failed miserably if they tried to do the calling of Christ in their own strength. They would have failed miserably. The church never would have gotten off the ground because it would have been built upon the wisdom, the strength of men, and not the power of God. It is foolish of us to think that we can somehow live in obedience to Christ in our flesh. That's ridiculous. What does the scripture say about the flesh? It says that the flesh is evil. The flesh is sinful. How in the world could we possibly think, I'm going to live for Christ, I'm going to love Christ through my flesh? It's not going to work. Which is why the Holy Spirit is so essential. The Holy Spirit, Jesus actually says, it's better this way. It's better that I leave. It's better that you receive the Spirit. Why? Because the Spirit is permanent. The Spirit's forever. There is not a single moment after we come to faith in Christ, there is not a single moment that we will ever experience where we are ever outside the presence of the Lord. Now, depending on who you are, that's either a great comfort or that's really, really scary. Because what does that mean? It means, yes, God is there, like physically, actually there when you're living in sin. When you're doing something to disobey the commands of God, yes, he's there. And when you're doing something that you're living in obedience for him, he's there. He's always there. From the moment that we are born again, from the moment that we are regenerated, we are born into a new life in Christ. Holy Spirit is there. God is there. You see, this is actually a natural progression. I've been saying this every week. Everything that we've been going through, it is a natural progression of what it means to follow Jesus. Because what did Jesus say the foundations were for being his disciple? What is the foundational requirement for being a follower of Christ? You have to love Jesus more than anything else. We have to love him more than our family. We have to love him more than money. We have to love him more than absolutely anyone or anything else in the entire world. And if we truly love Jesus, then we would naturally be ready and willing to die for Jesus. Because let's be honest, who among us would not be willing to die for our spouse or for our children? Anybody would be willing to do that because we love that person. We love them more than we love ourselves. Jesus is no different. If we truly love Jesus, we love him more than anything. We'd gladly die for Jesus if that's what it took. But you see, here's the thing, church. It's actually easier to die for Jesus than it is to live for Jesus. If he's calling us to love him to the point that we're willing to die for him, then of course he's calling us to live for him. We cannot be followers of Christ if we are not ready and willing and prepared to actually live for Jesus. That's what he's calling us to. That is what he has always called us to. We have always, as followers of Christ, been called to live for Jesus. And yet, we so often try to do it in our own strength. We try to do it in our own wisdom. We try to do it without the power of the Holy Spirit. And then we fail. And then we find ourselves wondering, why did I fail? Why did I fall into sin? Why did I not do what God would have wanted me to do? Why? Because you were trying to do it on your own. When we try to live for Christ on our own, we fail. That shouldn't be surprising. That shouldn't be shocking. That's why Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. That's why he gave him to us. Because there was never any chance at all of us being able to do it on our own. I came across this story. There was a man from North Carolina, and he bought a new car. And in his new car, it had one of those voice warning systems. You know how they have? I'm sure some of you have those types of cars. I don't. I don't want anybody talking to me while I'm driving. Right, honey? She's not happy with me. So one day, the man is driving in his car, and it wasn't very long before he realized some of the things that this voice would say to him. The voice would say to him things like, you know, be sure to buckle your seatbelt, things like that. And so he began to really enjoy this voice talking to him. He began to refer to the voice as the little woman. And one day, he's driving down the road, and the little woman speaks to him and says, you need gas in such and such miles. And he hears her, and he says, well, that's nice. I'm glad that she reminded me of that. But I think I've got a little time. He's like, I got probably 40, 50 miles. I'll be good. I can just go another 40, 50 miles, and I'll stop and get gas. A couple more miles go by, and the voice says again, you need to fuel your car. And he goes, I still got a little bit of time. So he keeps on going. The voice says it again. And the voice says it every 5 or 6 miles. And even though it's the same recording, the guy can't help but think, this voice is sounding a little bit more stern each time. And so finally, he gets to the point where he's like, you know what? I know my car. I know how far I can go. Who here is like that? Who here drives with the needle on E and goes, I still got 5 miles. I got this. You know who you are. And so finally, he actually pulls off the side of the road. He goes underneath the dash, finds the wires for the voice for the voicing system, and pulls the wires. And then he thinks, well, fine, I'll show you. So he keeps on driving. And after a few more miles, guess what happens? He starts hearing that little chug-chug noise. He starts to sputter on down the road. And you know, he's thinking in his mind, that voice is laughing at me right now. Because he ran out of gas, even though he was told time and time again, you're going to run out of gas. You need to get some gas. Now, as kind of cute and funny as a story like that is, here's the thing, church. The Holy Spirit speaks to us. The Holy Spirit speaks to us. He tells us that we're approaching something that could be sinful. He tells us when an opportunity to serve the Lord is right in front of us. How is it that we're supposed to live in obedience to the Lord? Because the Lord himself is telling us how to do it. See, the question is not, what do I need to do to live in obedience to Christ? The question is, will I submit to the leading of the Holy Spirit and do what he's telling me to do to live for Christ? And unfortunately, what do so many of us do? We do exactly what the guy in the story did. We ignore the voice. We try to shove the Holy Spirit to the side and say, not right now. What you're telling me to do is uncomfortable. What you're telling me to do is inconvenient. I don't have the time. I don't have the resources. I don't have this. I don't have that to do what it is that you're telling me to do. So I'm just going to do it my way. How arrogant is that? I mean, that is arrogant to the point of near insanity. To think, I know better than God. I know better. I can do it better than what God is telling me to do. We've all done it. You go to the store and you feel the Holy Spirit begin to speak to you and say, why don't you pay for the groceries of this person? Or you're on the phone with a friend or a colleague and the Holy Spirit says, why don't you tell them about that answered prayer that you just had? It doesn't even have to be anything big. We ignore the Holy Spirit over little things all the time. Just offering to pray with someone when they tell us about something that's going on in their life. We ignore the Holy Spirit when he tells us to do things. Why? Because honestly, we have subtly convinced ourselves that we can live for Christ without the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We have. We have gotten to the point, church, where we actually believe that we can live for Christ without the guidance and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not saying any of us would ever say that, but that is how we live. We don't submit to his leadership. We don't submit to his guidance. We don't submit to his authority. Because we think we've convinced ourselves that we can do it on our own. Even though Jesus says right here, I'm going to send another helper. He's going to be with you always. To the disciples, he's saying, you can't do it on your own. That's why I'm going to send you the Spirit. Why do we think that we're better than the apostles? The apostles couldn't live for Christ on their own. Why do we think we can? The Spirit was given to us to be our helper, to be our guidance, to tell us how to live for Christ, to tell us how to live in obedience to Christ, to tell us how to show our love for Christ. If we're going to be followers of Christ, then we have to start submitting to the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our life. Look at verse 18. He says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Jesus is giving some comfort here to the disciples. Because, I mean, he's telling them, I'm leaving. I'm going to send a helper in my place. Now, for the disciples, that's absolutely terrifying. Because they don't know what that's going to look like. They've been learning and they've been walking for 3 years in how to live for Jesus. What it means to follow Jesus. And they've grown to know exactly what that looks like and exactly what that means with Jesus right there. And now Jesus is saying, you're going to have to follow me, but I'm not going to be right there. And so their response is, quite honestly, what are we going to do? Why does Jesus have to go? Why can't things just stay the same? Why can't they just remain exactly how they are? And Jesus is saying that he's going to leave. But the Holy Spirit will come. But he tells them, even though I'm leaving, you're still going to see me. You're going to see me again. He's talking, of course, about the resurrection. Because after the resurrection, what does Jesus do? He comes back and he sees the apostles. Spends time with them. In fact, the New Testament records that for 40 days after the resurrection, Jesus taught and he witnessed and he ministered to the apostles and to hundreds of other people. For 40 days after the resurrection. Jesus was not just abandoning the disciples. Everything was according to the plan of God. He says, I will leave you as orphans. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. But even though I'm departing, you're never going to be apart from me. I'm always going to be with you. And what we actually see in this passage is the clear representation, the clear working and unity of the Trinity. How God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are all working together in the life of the believer. See, this is important, church. Because up to this point, Jesus says the Spirit will now dwell in you. The Spirit will come to be in you. We will make our home in you. All future tense, all saying in the future, which is not the quite so distant future at this point. The Holy Spirit will come and will indwell the believers. See, up until the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit came down and actually indwelt believers for the very first time, the Spirit was always at work. The Spirit was always around. The Spirit was always doing his part, but the Spirit never actually indwelt people. So you go through the Old Testament, you'll see the working, the ministry of the Holy Spirit clearly alluded to and spoken of throughout the pages of the Old Testament. Jesus even says, the Spirit dwells with you, not in you, with you. The Spirit has always been there to prepare, to encourage, to exhort, to give strength to believers to live for the Lord. But there's a difference. You see, prior to the ascension, prior to the coming of the Holy Spirit, there was only being filled with the Spirit, and which is quite different from being indwelt by the Spirit. When we're filled with the Spirit, that means that we are filled with the power of God to accomplish a particular task, which means, by its very definition, it's temporary. It's not permanent. It's only meant to last for a certain amount of time. But now we have the indwelling of the Spirit, which is permanent. It never changes. Once we come to faith in Jesus, we submit to the lordship of Christ in our life. We are saved. The Holy Spirit comes and indwells in us. He lives in us, which is why Jesus is able to say, why the scriptures are able to say, I will be with you to the ends of the earth. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Why? Because he's always with us. There's never a moment from the time that we come to faith in Christ, there is never again a single moment in the life of a person who has come to faith in Jesus where they are ever apart from the Lord, because he is there. Verse 20, in that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. See, Jesus is actually giving comfort here by saying, you're in me, I'm in you, we're never apart. He's saying, just because I'm not going to be there physically with you anymore does not mean that we're not together. Because by the power of the resurrection, those who are in Christ have what? They have life. Jesus has life and imparts life to his followers. It never changes. It never goes away. It's permanent. We cannot follow Christ and ignore the Spirit. Because here's the thing. This is where we see the unity of the Trinity here at work. If we ignore the Spirit and think, I can follow Christ by ignoring the Spirit, it's foolishness. Why? Because to ignore the Spirit is to ignore Christ. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, that is God. It's not a matter of saying one is better than the other or one is more significant than the other. No. The Trinity is God. It is one God manifesting himself in three persons. It's not that difficult to understand if we break it down in a certain way. We're all people. We're all one individual person, right? But do we function in the same way in all of our relationships? Of course not. I'm Brian, but I'm also a son. I am a husband. I'm a father. But I'm still just one person. Same type of principle for the Trinity. He's one God. But the Trinity, the Son, the Father, the Spirit, they are all equal. They are all the same in essence. They are all God. But they function in different ways. To ignore one, to think I can ignore the guidance, the leadership of the Holy Spirit in my life and still follow Jesus, that makes absolutely no biblical sense. Because to ignore the Spirit is to ignore Jesus. To ignore Jesus is to ignore the Father. The words of one are the words of the other. They are one. Church, this is something that, even personally, this is something that I struggle with. This is something that we all struggle with. Because it can. The more that you do it, the easier it becomes to ignore the guidance and the leadership of the Spirit in your life. The closer you are to the Lord, the louder his voice is. The more prevalent his voice is. The further you are from the Lord, the quieter the voice is. The more difficult it is to discern. If you're here this morning and you don't know that you can hear the Holy Spirit in your life, you don't know that you can feel his leadership, you don't know that you can feel his guidance in your life as you're going about trying to follow Christ, then there's one of two things going on. Either you have some sort of unconfessed sin in your life, which is hindering your relationship with the Lord. Or you were never following Christ. Those are really the only two options. If we're following Christ, That means that we're following the Holy Spirit. And the unity that exists between the Trinity, the unity that exists in him as he ministers and works in the life of a believer. Church, that's not something that we get to ignore or that we get to change. That is something that we either submit to or it's something that we don't. And according to Scripture, if we don't submit to it, that means that we're actively choosing not to obey. And if we actively choose not to obey, then we can't be followers of Christ. Look at verse 25. It says, "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here." Jesus is coming to a close in this portion of what he has to tell the disciples. He says, "These things I've spoken to you while I'm still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, is going to come. He's going to call to your remembrance everything. You'll have perfect recall. Everything that I have said, everything that I have taught, you're going to have all of it." Now, before we go running too far with this, this is a specific promise that Jesus gives to the disciples here. This is not a promise that is given to all believers. And the reason for it is because, as we know, the majority of the New Testament was written by these individuals, which means they needed that perfect recall. They needed to recall everything that Jesus had said. They needed to know every secret that there possibly was going to be because they were the ones inspired by the Lord to pen the New Testament. Now, while that's true, there are teachings and there are other passages of the New Testament that show the Holy Spirit works in a similar way with us, in the sense of when we go to witness to an individual, Holy Spirit will recall the words of God to us. The Holy Spirit will help us. The Holy Spirit will guide us. The Holy Spirit will give us the words to say when we are sharing Christ with an individual. Because again, as we have said, as Jesus has said, if we're going to live for Jesus, if we're going to obey Jesus, be followers of Jesus, then it takes the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. That is not something that we can get away from. But Jesus comes to a close here and he says, verse 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." Peace, that was a very common expression that was used in those times. It's to this day, it's still a very common Jewish form of saying goodbye to a person. It's that Hebrew word shalom. Now, in our culture, we don't quite grasp everything that Jesus means when he says, "Peace I give to you." Because in our minds, peace is simply the absence of conflict. There's no other form of peace. There's nothing to go along with peace because peace is simply the absence of conflict. But you see, what Jesus is really saying here is much deeper than that. Because to give peace, to speak peace to an individual means to give positive blessing, especially as it has to do with that person's relationship with the Lord. And we actually see that spoken of in even greater detail as we go through the New Testament. Paul, for example, speaks specifically about two ways that we have that blessing of peace when we talk about our relationship with the Lord. Romans 5:1, he says what? He says that we have peace with God. How do we have peace with God? Through the forgiveness of sin. How do we have the forgiveness of sin? Because Jesus went to the cross. Jesus is the payment. He's the propitiation, the satisfaction for the payment of sin. Therefore, we have peace with God through the forgiveness of our sin. But then also Philippians chapter 4, he says that we have the peace of God. We have the peace of God to guard our lives. We have the very peace of God dwelling within us. We have the very peace with God dwelling within us. The Holy Spirit is that seal. He's that seal, that mark, that stamp of approval marking us as children of God. Church, we don't truly understand this. We don't truly understand what Jesus is truly saying here. He's giving that blessing, that relationship through the Holy Spirit. That's how we're able to have relationship with Christ. That's how we're actually able to know Jesus. We're actually able to know him personally, to know him. How? It's through the very presence of God in our life, through the person of the Holy Spirit. That is how we have that relationship. That's how we get to know him. That's how we are able to be in him and with him forever and always, because we have the Holy Spirit. That is the blessing of God in our life. We get to have the very peace of God, which means we don't have to worry. We don't have to fear. That's why the Apostle Paul is able to write from prison, "I have joy." He's able to encourage and tell other believers, "Rejoice." I'll say it again, rejoice. Rejoice in all things. When trials, when tribulations, when terrible things happen, rejoice. Because you have the very peace of God within your life. There's no need to worry. There's no need to fear. Because the Holy Spirit reminds us, the Holy Spirit is with us and teaching us and telling us, you don't need to worry, you don't need to fear, because God has it in control. God has everything in control. Which is why it's so awful that as Christians, as believers, as people who proclaim to follow Jesus, we spend more time focused on things that are going on in the world and how that might affect this and how it might affect that and what this might mean tomorrow or what it might mean next month or what it might mean next year. We spend more time thinking and worrying about those things than we ever do about thinking and worrying about how is the gospel getting to a lost person today. We care more about things of the world than we do about things of God. It's the truth. You can't rationalize that away. Because if it weren't true, then we wouldn't be spending so much time thinking about and worrying about and concerning ourselves with things of the world. We'd be concerning ourselves with the very gospel of Jesus Christ. Because the gospel is the only thing that can truly affect and create real change in a person's life. The gospel is what conforms and transforms us with the very mind of Christ. It's through the power of the gospel. And the Holy Spirit is there to tell us how to do that, to tell us where to go with it, to tell us when to speak it, when to pray it, what to do with it. And he's there to remind us with his peace that God is on his throne. He is in control. So church, stop worrying. Stop fearing. Nothing is going to happen that God does not have complete control of. It never has, and it never will. So do not live in worry. Do not live in fear. Instead, as followers of Christ, live in the peace of the Holy Spirit. Live in loving obedience to the Lord. I want to encourage us for the next few minutes We're going to do our closing a little bit different today. Over the next few minutes, we're just going to have some music playing, and I want to encourage all of us, take these next few moments and just go to the Lord in prayer. Take whatever it is that is weighing on your heart, whatever your worry is, whatever your fear is. Maybe you're worried about something that is going on at work. Maybe you're worried about something going on in your family. Maybe you've got a worry about something going on financially or with your health, whatever the case may be. Whatever your worry, whatever your fear, whatever the case may be, take it before the Lord this morning. Take it to Him, give it to Him, and ask Him. Beseech Him. Say, Lord, would you please take away the fear? Would you please take away the worry? I don't want to live this way anymore, because I want to live in the true joy and peace that only the Spirit can bring. We're not meant to live in fear. We're not meant to live in worry, because Jesus said, my peace I give to you. The peace that surpasses all understanding. The peace that is to be found only in relationship with the Lord. Peace with God. Peace of God. That is what He has given us. And that is what we always have with us in the person of the Holy Spirit. So, church, let us truly follow Jesus. Let us submit to the guidance, to the leadership, to the peace, to the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that we can truly live in that loving obedience to Jesus as He has called us to live. Won't you join me in prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your Spirit. Father, thank you for telling us what it means to be a follower of Christ. What it means to love Jesus. What it means to live in obedience to Jesus. God, thank you for not leaving us to try and figure that out on our own. For not leaving us to try and do it in our own strength or in our own wisdom. God, thank you for sending your Spirit so that we can follow Him. We can follow Him in joy. We can follow Him in peace. We can follow Him in obedience. We can truly live for you with all of our life, all of our thoughts, all of our words, all of our deeds. We can truly live and give all of it to you because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, would you speak to us this morning? Speak to the person who is struggling with fear, who is struggling with worry, who is living outside of the very peace that Jesus promises, the very peace that He has given. And remind them of your goodness. Remind them of your strength. Remind them of your power. Power that is over all things for all time. Lord, speak to the person who is trying to live for Christ, who is trying to follow Christ, without actually submitting to the leadership of the Spirit. Something that has absolutely no chance of working. Lord, would we recognize the power, the authority of your Spirit? May we submit and go where your Spirit leads, say what He wants us to say, do what He wants us to do. Regardless of how inconvenient, regardless of how uncomfortable, may we be followers of Jesus who live to love, to obey you, and enjoy your peace, your joy, your comfort. Father, it's in Jesus' name that we pray.